The rooster's crow echoed over the valley, loud enough to wake the dead. But Jack was already awake. His hunger kept him up all through the night. As the sun peeked over the hillside, Jack threw back his threadbare blanket, stumbled down the steps, and headed out to the barn. As hungry as he was, Jack knew that he and his mother, Margaret, were relatively lucky. The famine that had raged across England had left many worse off than them. The elderly had started to die off. Jack's friends had abandoned their village for the city in hopes that there might be some relief there. They'd tried to convince him to go as well, but Jack couldn't. He couldn't leave his frail mother. She needed him to tend the farm, what little was left of it. Besides, they still had Milky White, the finest milk cow for 100 miles. She produced more than enough to feed both of them, with plenty left over to sell. As long as they had her, they could get by. Jack stepped into the barn. He grabbed the stool and the bucket and ran his hand across the cow's back.
"There, there, girl. Hope it wasn't too cold for you last night. I'm gonna be real quick about this. Don't mind me."
Jack sat down next to Milky. He placed the bucket underneath her udders and started to squeeze them. But nothing came out. He readjusted his grip and tried again. Nothing. Jack's hands began to shake. His stomach rumbled. In an instant, he had lost the only thing keeping them alive. I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales, a Spotify original from Parcast. Every Wednesday, we dive into the dark origins of another fairy tale. You can find all episodes of Tales and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. Today, we're beginning the classic story, Jack and the Beanstalk, about a young farmer who discovers a mysterious land high above the clouds. The tales on this podcast are dark, sometimes scary, and full of adult themes. As a warning, the original story of Jack and the Beanstalk features harm against minors and murder. Please exercise caution for children under 13. Coming up, Jack holds the fate of the farm in his hands. An early version of Jack and the Beanstalk was first published in the 1700s and has undergone many iterations since then. The titular character popped up in numerous stories and nursery rhymes like Little Jack Horner and Jack the Giant Killer. These stories were known as Jack Tales and were enormously popular throughout England. In these stories, Jack constantly finds himself in tricky situations and has to use his wits to get out of them. Jack is a stock character. While his location and personality constantly change, he has a few traits that follow him from story to story. Jack is usually from a lower class, and while he's never portrayed as educated, he is always very clever. As the British Empire expanded, so did stories of Jack, from England to Ireland and eventually to America, becoming integral to the folktales of Central Appalachia. Just as Jack himself would change from story to story, the folktale Jack and the Beanstalk changed throughout the years. Some versions include guardian fairies and a Jack of noble birth. Others paint him as a vengeful slayer of not just one, but many giants. But one of the more popular versions of the story comes from noted British folklorist Joseph Jacobs. First written in 1890, this version eschews some of the more fantastical elements in favor of a more grounded Jack. His version laid the framework of the Jack many are familiar with today, that of a hard-working, if naive, young man, desperate to survive after discovering that his prized cow has gone dry. Jack stumbled back into the house, the color drained from his face. He stopped and propped himself up against the doorframe, unable to go any farther. The stress and hunger twisted his stomach in knots. It was more than any 13-year-old should have to bear. From across the house, Jack could hear the familiar tapping of his mother's cane. Her vision had been fading for months, but it wasn't just her eyesight. His mother had trouble breathing. She barely had enough energy to get down the stairs in the morning. Jack had kept the farm going alone. But the crops had failed, and Milky White had become Jack's only real chore. Now that she was dry, there was nothing left to do. Margaret stepped into the kitchen, her head held high. Despite her poor health, she was still a proud woman. She glanced toward Jack.
"Why aren't you in the barn? Surely you're not done."
Jack looked up. He tried to sound as brave as possible.
"She's gone dry. We're out of milk."
A long beat of silence passed between them. Jack kept waiting for his mother to say something, some word of advice or shock and anger, but she showed no emotion. With a curt nod, she shuffled toward the table.
"I guess that's that. All right, boy, I can't keep you here any longer. You best get to town and find a job."
Jack couldn't imagine leaving his mother all alone at home. He tried to protest, but Margaret would hear none of it. It was time for Jack to step up and be the breadwinner. Margaret waved her son over and gave him a kiss on the cheek. She straightened the collar of his cardigan and nodded for the door. Jack was dismissed. He gave her one last glance over his shoulder and walked out. Jack knew this famine had been tough on the village, but he hadn't been into town in months. He hardly recognized the place. The village center was desolate. Jack went to every shop he knew might be hiring. The cobbler, the hatter, the livery, all shuttered up. The haberdashery even looked like it had been looted. Up and down the streets Jack went, but it was the same scene on every block. Boarded windows and firmly shut doors, save for one. A handful of gaunt, dirty men were gathered in front of the Oxbow Tavern. Their skin was yellowed. If they weren't standing, Jack would have thought they were dead. Jack felt the hairs on his neck stand on end. The Oxbow had a particularly bad reputation, even for a tavern. It was a rough place, full of the worst kinds of outlaws. But it was also the only place that was open for business. Jack had never stepped foot inside a tavern before. He slowly made his way past the horde and toward the front door, one thought pushing him forward. A job's a job. Jack entered, his heart thumping inside his chest. It took a second for his eyes to adjust. He wished they hadn't. While everyone outside looked sad and broken, inside it was decidedly more sinister. Despite it being the middle of the day, the crowd was drunk and boisterous. Gold and jewels sat on tables next to knives and clubs. From the bar, a youthful, familiar voice called his name. It was his friend Simon. No older than Jack, Simon and his shock of red hair were behind the bar, pulling beers and pouring wine. His innocent face stood out in the den of thieves. Jack couldn't believe it. He ran to greet him.
"Simon, what are you doing here?"
Simon shrugged.
"I imagine the same thing you are. This could have been you if you'd made it into town yesterday."
Jack lowered his voice, his eyes shifting from side to side.
"Guess I'm not the only one out of work."
Simon shook his head.
"Don't think you'll get any competition from this crowd. I'd rather not know how they get their money."
The knot in Jack's stomach tightened.
"Well, if I decide on a life of crime, I know where to go. I can't believe nobody's hiring."
Simon laughed.
"Butcher was. But Billy got that job, the lucky dog. This is it, Jack."
Jack nodded to his friend and backed out of the bar. He didn't want to turn his back on this crowd. Jack pulled his cardigan tight as he made his way home. The days were getting shorter. Any other year, this would have been a busy season, with farmers preparing the fields for the winter. But there wasn't a soul on the roads besides Jack. He was surrounded by dying barley fields. The putrid crops weren't worth harvesting. It was dark by the time Jack got home. His venture into town only made him more depressed. His legs were weak. All he wanted was to get into bed. Jack pushed open the door. To his surprise, his mother was still up, sitting at the table. She raised her eyebrows, her way of asking how it went. Jack sighed.
"It's even worse in town. They've got Simon tending bar. Almost everywhere else is closed."
Margaret tapped her cane against the floor and stood up.
"Well then, onward and upward. Tomorrow, take Milky into town. She might be dry, but she's still a fine cow. The butcher should give you a good return. Don't be afraid to negotiate. Make your father proud."
Jack's jaw dropped. He couldn't believe it. They couldn't sell Milky White. She was like family. But his mother left no room for protest. She turned her back and headed to bed, leaving Jack all alone in the kitchen. The next morning, Jack was up again before the sun. His rumbling stomach was a more reliable wake-up call than the rooster. Jack shoved the barn door open. He ran his hand along Milky White's back, calming the old cow. His fingers bumped against the ridges of her ribs. He couldn't believe he hadn't noticed before, but Milky had lost a lot of weight. It broke his heart. Jack fastened the bridle into her mouth and led her out. It was going to be a long day. Jack walked Milky across the covered bridge into town. He always hated the bridge. It was dark no matter the time of day. It creaked like it was about to fall. It didn't help his already stressed state. Suddenly, a match struck in the darkness. Jack jumped, turning to see a glowing flame hovering in the darkness. The match lifted toward the craggy face of an old man. He lit his pipe and smiled.
"Hey, Jack, looks like you're in a bit of a jam."
A chill ran down Jack's spine. He'd never seen this man before. The thought pounding in his head, how does he know my name? Up next, Jack gets the bargain of a lifetime.
Listeners, I am thrilled to tell you that this month marks a huge milestone for Parcast. It's the 4-year anniversary of another fantastic podcast I host called Serial Killers. If you haven't had a chance to dive into the stories and psychology behind the most nightmarish murderers of all time, there's no better time than right now to start listening. Each week, we enter the minds, the methods, and the madness of the world's most sadistic serial killers. From the son of Sam, David Berkowitz, and the co-ed killer, Edmund Kemper, to Eileen Wardos, Ed Gein, and coming soon, the night stalker, Richard Ramirez. And this February, look out for our 4-part special on couples who kill, following the worst love has to offer. Their names may sound ordinary, but their atrocities are anything but. Trust me, you do not want to miss it. With hundreds of episodes available to binge and new ones released weekly, get to know the killers, crimes, and cases that forever changed the face of history. Follow the Spotify original from Parcast, Serial Killers. New episodes air every Monday and Thursday, free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the story. Jack froze in the darkness of the covered bridge. He never encountered people on this road, especially this early in the morning, but the old man seemed to know him. Jack crept forward, straining in the darkness to try and make out the stranger's face. The old man smiled back at him, puffing on his pipe. Jack stood between Milky White and the man.
"Nobody said I was in a jam, old-timer."
The man puffed on his pipe and stepped into the light. His bright blue eyes sparkled as he spoke.
"Everybody in this village is in a jam, and you're dragging a cow across a bridge before the sun is up. The name's Albie, and lucky for you, I can help you out if you sell me that cow."
Jack laughed. He pulled Milky White along.
"Thanks, but I'll take my chances in town."
He walked past Albie, hoping his false bravado at least appeared real. Something whizzed by Jack's head, landing with a thump on the boards of the bridge. Jack stopped and stared down at the object lying at his feet. It looked like a coin purse. He bent down and picked it up. It was light. It felt like there was barely anything in it at all. But something rattled inside. Jack held the purse in his hand and turned back to Albie. The old man pointed at the bag.
"That's for you, Jack, if you trade with me."
Jack threw the bag onto the ground, his frustration finally boiling over.
"I'm not selling you this cow. How do you even know my name?"
Albie picked up the purse. He walked closer, his voice low.
"Maybe I was at the tavern yesterday when you were chatting with your mate. Maybe I was watching you spend the entire day looking for a job in empty shops. Maybe I'm just a man who's looking for an opportunity, the kind of opportunity that could solve all your problems."
The old man pressed the purse into Jack's hand. Jack could feel something small and round inside. His eyes lit up with thoughts of diamonds and sapphires. Jack tried to channel his father. He had always heard he was a born negotiator. He squeezed the purse.
"Feels a little light. Old Milky White was the best milk cow in the county."
Albie winked.
"Was" being the key word. "What's in there is worth more than gold, worth more than whatever you'd get at the butcher."
Curiosity got the better of Jack. He had to see what the old man was offering. Jack pulled the strings from around the bag and emptied it into his hand. The objects weren't gems. They were beans. Jack held out his hand, incredulous.
"Beans? You want me to sell my cow for a handful of weird beans? Milky here would feed us for a few months at least. I doubt the crows would even bother with these."
The man shook his finger.
"Now, Jack, those aren't just beans. They're from a far-off land. They're magic beans."
Jack clenched his fist around the beans. His blood boiled. If he'd had doubts before, he was now certain the man was a crook, some kind of conniving swindler trying to take advantage of struggling yokel. Jack glared back at Albie.
"Who in their right mind would trade a whole cow for a handful of beans?"
Albie raised his hand.
"I don't think you're mad or stupid, but I know desperation when I see it. You can go on into town and have the butcher give you a quarter of what she's worth. That might give you and your mother an extra week. Or you can take these beans and change your life forever."
Jack unclenched his fist and looked down at the beans.
"I never heard of beans changing somebody's life."
Albie reached out and closed Jack's hand around the beans.
"You've never seen anything like this before. Tell you what, I won't touch a hair on her head. And if you don't like what you get from these beans, if you feel like you've been cheated in any way, come back here this time tomorrow and I'll give you the cow back. Full refund."
Jack pondered over the offer. It sounded like he had nothing to lose. He smiled. Jack let go of the reins and held his hand out.
"It's a deal."
Jack played with the beans on his way back home. He couldn't take his eyes off of them. The way they glimmered and shined, they might as well be precious stones. Jack's mind raced with the possibilities of what they were.
"Maybe they'll be delicious. No, that's too tame for magic beans. Maybe they'll grow money or medicine. Albie did seem to know an awful lot about me. Perhaps these beans will make Mum see again."
Before he knew it, Jack was back at the homestead. He wasn't sure where the day had gone. The sun was already sinking in the west. He rushed into the house, anxious to get the beans planted. Margaret was once again waiting for him at the kitchen table. She smiled at him and held out her hand.
"You must have really worked over that butcher. I know this year has been hard, and it couldn't have been easy to sell off Milky White. But you did good, boy. Now, how much did he give you? I want to go and buy us something nice to eat tomorrow."
Jack dropped the beans onto the table.
The butcher wasn't going to give us a fair price for the cow. He would have cheated us like he does everybody else. I got something better.
His mother arched an eyebrow. Better than money? Never heard of such a thing.
Margaret reached out toward the beans and picked them up. She counted out
8, 9, 10. Ten what? What are these things?
Jack smiled and sat down across from his mother.
Magic beans. They're going to save us.
Jack reached to take his mother's hand. Her flat tone betrayed no emotion.
Magic beans?
Her hand closed over her cane, and a moment later it was swinging toward Jack's head. Jack had no time to react. The first blow sent his world spinning. He fell to the floor, wrapping his arms over his head to protect himself. Margaret rained down blow after blow on her son. Jack had never seen her so angry. Margaret shouted as she beat her son.
You stupid, stupid boy! You've killed us both! You traded all we had for nothing! It would have been better to keep the cow. We could have at least eaten her ourselves.
Jack felt the knots already forming around his skull. He held up a hand in defense, shouting,
Please stop! He said I could have the cow back if we weren't satisfied.
Jack cowered, bracing for another blow, but it never came. His mother hovered above him, gasping for breath. This was the most she had exerted herself in months. She fumbled around the tabletop for the handful of beans. Finally grasping them, Margaret wheezed and tossed them out the window. She leaned on her cane, her breath finally steady.
I would say we are not satisfied. First thing in the morning, you're to go and get our cow back. And you'd better pray that man keeps his word. Now go to bed. I'm not wasting a drop of milk or a morsel of food on you. I'm thankful your father's not alive to see this.
Jack dragged himself across the floor, every inch of his body throbbing in pain. Long, purple welts crisscrossed his back and arms. He couldn't see his face, but he knew it was swollen as well. Slowly, Jack pulled himself up to the attic. He had no idea how long it took him to get up the stairs and into bed. It felt like a longer journey than his trip into town. But as sore as he was, it was his heart that hurt the most. Jack had let his mother down. Her death was going to be on his hands because he let a con man talk him into believing in magic beans. He stared out the window toward the stars in the sky. As tumultuous as the day had been, the night was perfectly peaceful. Exhaustion finally overcame Jack's hunger. His eyes slid closed, and he drifted off to sleep. Jack's eyes shot open with the first crow of the rooster, but something wasn't right. The room was pitch black, like it was still night, but he was not mistaken. He could hear the morning song of the birds chirping. For a moment, Jack worried his mother had beat him blind. A loud thud came from the roof. Jack pushed aside his aching muscles and crawled out of bed. He limped toward the window. It seemed that something outside was blocking the sunlight. It looked like a tree had grown up right outside the window. But Jack knew that wasn't possible. Jack unlatched the window and gave it a push, but it wouldn't open. The trunk of the new tree gave it no room. Jack rushed downstairs and into the kitchen. Whatever was blocking out the light in the attic was blocking the kitchen window as well. A thought flashed in his mind.
That's where Mother threw the beans.
Jack stepped outside and looked up. His jaw dropped. It wasn't a tree that was blocking out the light. It was a beanstalk, nearly as wide as an oak, stretching high into the clouds. The strange man hadn't been lying. The beans were magic. Coming up, Jack finds out what's at the top of the beanstalk. Now back to the story. Jack walked around the base of the beanstalk. There was no pole, no support of any kind. Beans didn't grow that way normally. But then, normal bean stalks didn't grow this large, much less overnight. Jack gave the beanstalk a good shake. It was sturdy. There seemed to be no end to it, the top disappearing into the clouds. Jack kept his eyes trained on the heavens and shouted for his mother. He could hear the cane tapping away from inside, but he couldn't take his eyes off the beanstalk. Jack heard the front door open. His mother groused,
"What are you shouting about? I'm trying to sleep."
Her voice faded out as she hobbled next to Jack. She rested a hand on his shoulder. Even to her failing eyes, it was an unbelievable sight. Margaret stammered,
"What? What is it? Where did this come from?"
Jack took his mother's hand, finally turning toward her.
"Better than whatever the butcher would have given us."
Margaret stared past him, her eyes still locked on the beanstalk.
"Where does it end?"
Jack didn't have an answer. He let go of his mother's hand and stepped closer to the beanstalk. Jack reached up and grabbed one of the enormous sprouts that hung off the side. He pulled himself up onto the beanstalk. His mother shouted behind him,
"That thing's not sturdy."
But Jack didn't listen. He climbed up a bit further. The beanstalk didn't sway or bend at all under his weight. Jack shouted back,
"Seems sturdy to me."
Jack climbed the stalk like a ladder. There were plenty of sprouts and stems to act as rungs. Margaret continued to shout from below, begging him to come back down. Jack ignored her. Jack turned his head from the stalk. He was well above the roof of his own house. He could see the rolling hills of the English countryside stretching into town. The fields of dying barley basked in the warm morning glow. The village no longer looked so sad and desperate. He had never seen anything so beautiful. Far in the distance, he could see the tiny figures of Albie and Milky White standing in front of the covered bridge. Albie was a man of his word, though Jack couldn't imagine returning the beans now. He glanced back down at his mother. She looked no bigger than a mouse. He could tell she was still screaming at him, telling him to get down, but he could barely hear her over the howling wind. Jack looked down. He thought,
"Seems like a lot of trouble to get this far and then just turn around."
He looked back up toward the clouds. He had to see the top. Jack continued upward. His muscles ached from hunger and the beating of the night before. But that didn't matter to him now. He was too excited. His heart pounded inside his chest like a bass drum as a falcon soared past the beanstalk. The air was getting colder. Soon, the only thing he could see in any direction was sky. He was too afraid to look down now, so he pushed on. A haze settled in around the beanstalk. The light faded as everything turned white. He giggled uncontrollably. His head was literally in the clouds. But over the roar of the wind, Jack heard the unmistakable moo of a cow. It was far too loud to come from the ground below. It almost sounded like it had come from above him.
"There it was again,"
Jack thought, as another moo rang out. Jack strained to see through the clouds, but they were impenetrable. He hurried up the beanstalk. Suddenly, Jack was out of the clouds. He had made it to the top of the beanstalk. All around him, the sky was no longer the sky. Jack was surrounded by solid ground, lush, rolling fields of golden wheat, rows and rows of a ripe apple orchard. Fat, plump cows grazed on thick green grass. For a brief moment, Jack thought he must be dead. This looked like heaven. Dumbfounded, Jack reached out his hand. He could feel the cool, wet grass between his fingers. It was all real. Jack stepped off the beanstalk. He jumped up and down, testing this ground above the clouds. It didn't budge. Laughing with delight, Jack took off in a sprint toward the orchard. He gave the first tree a good shake. A handful of apples fell to the ground. Jack picked one up and took a bite. It was delicious, maybe the best apple he'd ever had in his life. But off in the distance, something glistened in the sunlight. It looked like a house, a huge, sprawling country estate. Jack's stomach rumbled. The apple was good, but it had only whetted his appetite. He thought, "I bet whoever lives there has a proper breakfast." Jack took another bite of the apple and headed for the house. Jack thought the house was just over the hill, but as he got closer, he noticed the estate was still a couple of miles away.
"It must be my eyes playing tricks on me,"
Jack thought. There was no way the house was as big as it appeared. But the closer Jack got, the more he realized it wasn't a trick at all. The estate was huge. The front door was as tall as his own home. The building itself had to be a mile long. The walls were higher than any mountain he had ever seen. Compared to the house, Jack was no bigger than one of the barn cats that lounged around his farm. Jack climbed the massive stoop, 1 6-foot stair at a time. With all his might, he beat on the front door. The knock echoed off the rolling hills. Even in a house that size, somebody had to hear it. The house shook underneath his feet. He could hear massive footfalls from inside. Jack turned to run, but it was too late. From behind him, he could feel the powerful breeze as the door swung open. Jack turned around. He was eye level with a woman's knee. Slowly, Jack craned his neck up and up and up. Smiling down at him was a giant blonde woman.
"Well now, we don't get many visitors out here. Who are you, my wee little man?"
Jack removed his cap. Doing his best to keep his voice from trembling, he said,
"Good morning. Name's Jack, ma'am. And what might yours be?"
The giant woman's smile was fading, replaced by a suspicious look.
"I'm Bonnie. What is it that you want?"
Jack made his best pitch.
"I hate to bother you, but I've traveled quite a ways and I'm absolutely famished. You don't happen to have any breakfast on ya?"
Bonnie shook her head.
"You'll be breakfast yourself if you don't skedaddle out of here. My husband will be back soon, and there's nothing he loves more than fried boys on toast."
For the first time all day, Jack felt the knot return to the pit of his stomach.
"Maybe it wasn't such a good idea to come up here after all,"
he thought. Jack glanced over his shoulder. It was a long, long way back home. Jack turned back to the woman, a meek smile plastered across his face.
"Look, I don't eat much. I'd happily take whatever you have, and then I'll be out of your hair. Your husband will never know I was even here."
The woman pondered for a moment.
"Well, Oliver is usually late in the mornings, so I think we'll have time. I can't say no to someone so little and cute. Come on in."
Bonnie the giant pushed the door all the way open. Jack thanked her and ran inside. Bonnie scooped Jack up off the ground and carried him through the house. It was opulent and gaudy. Gold candlesticks and silver platters accented every room. Bonnie took them into the kitchen and sat Jack down on the counter. Even before the famine, he had never seen so much food in all his life. She could have fed his entire village for a week with just the food on the stove. Bonnie picked up a piece of bacon the size of Jack's arm and handed it to him. Jack sank his teeth into the thick meat, the sweet smell overpowering his senses. But his delight did not last. Jack froze mid-bite at the sound of the front door swinging open. Bonnie's eyes went wide.
"It's him. You've got to hide."
Bonnie opened up the oven and shoved Jack inside. It wouldn't have been Jack's first choice of a hiding spot. The loud thumps of the giant's footsteps grew nearer. He could hear Bonnie from outside.
"Good morning, my love."
Jack leaned his head into the crack between the door and the oven and peeked out. Bonnie's husband was truly terrifying. A massive knotted beard covered his chin. The hair around his mouth was 3 stages darker than the rest. It had been permanently stained with human blood. And he wasn't just tall. His belly tested the limits of his shirt buttons. He held 2 cows, one underneath each arm. He carried them as casually as sacks of flour. The giant ignored his wife. His nose stuck straight up in the air and sniffed. The giant opened his massive mouth.
"Fee, fi, fo, fum. I smell the blood of an Englishman. My dear, did you find me a boy to eat?"
The giant smiled at his wife, drool dripping from the corners of his lips. Bonnie turned and walked back toward the stove. Jack looked around at his surroundings. It suddenly dawned on him that maybe Bonnie prepared all of her husband's meals this way. Perhaps she wasn't as merciful as he previously thought, and Jack had walked right into a trap. Thanks for listening to Tales. We'll be back next Wednesday with the conclusion to Jack and the Beanstalk. You can find more episodes of Tales and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify. If you enjoy listening to Tales, you'll love my other podcast, Mythology. Mythology retells our oldest stories as an engaging audio drama. Every Tuesday, join me and a cast of voice actors as we dramatize the enduring legends that have shaped human culture since the very beginning. Join me next week as we continue this dark and surprising fairy tale. Tales is a Spotify original from Parcast. Executive producers include Max and Ron Cutler. Sound design by Carrie Murphy, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Aaron Larson. This episode of Tales was written by Jesse Harris, with writing assistance by Andrew Kelleher, fact-checking by Adriana Romero, and research by Mickey Taylor. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Listeners, don't forget to check out the Spotify original from Parcast, Serial Killers. Every Monday and Thursday, take a deep dive into the minds and madness of history's most notorious murderers. You can binge hundreds of episodes, 4 years' worth, and catch new episodes weekly. Listen to Serial Killers free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.